This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Daddy's hosting today, kids.
Oh, yeah.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I think it's been pretty obvious the mutual decision on both sides is to move on.
Baker's the one. You're breaking up with me. I'm breaking up with you first.
Earlier on the show, ESPN MLB insider Jeff Passan. Still to come, Panthers wide receiver DJ Moore. PGA Tour golfer Mark Hubbard, plus writer and director Ron Shelton. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Great chat with Jeff Passan, talking some baseball. We're going to talk a little bit more baseball in hour number three, since the man who made it arguably the greatest baseball movie, if not sports movie ever, Ron Shelton, who wrote a book called The Church of Baseball about the making of Bull Durham, a great book about the inside stuff on making a movie. How do you make a movie? And certainly one of the greatest movies that we still quote today. He'll be here in studio all hour number three. Mark Hubbard, who is grinding it out on the PGA Tour, he joins us in advance of the John Deere. He was the one who got into last week's Travelers when Brooks Koepka tapped out to join the LIV Tour. So I figured let's get him on and talk to him from his perspective on what's going on in the world of golf. Chris Brockman, Mike Del Tufo sitting where they are.
Hey, Rich.
TJ Jefferson, you sitting where you are. Good to see
Hello,
you.
Hello, world.
We're going to go from a TJ to a DJ. Do you see how I made that? And I don't mean you, Mike, as a disc jockey.
Wiki.
I don't mean you in that
Got
respect.
Got excited for a second there.
No.
Got excited. I'm like ready to spin.
I am actually referring to the man who's about to join us on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line. If I'm not mistaken, Denniston Oliver Moore Jr. is about to join us. DJ Moore from the Carolina Panthers, entering year five, fresh off of a terrific season in Carolina, here on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you doing, DJ?
I'm doing well. I appreciate you putting my whole name out there to the world.
What do you think? Is that a good thing, or am I, or is that something that you don't want out there? What do you think? What do you got for me on that?
Not a lot of people know my whole name, so okay. Everybody just been calling me DJ. So.
Okay.
It's nice to know that somebody knew my whole name.
Who calls you by your full name? Who does that on planet Earth? Anybody?
Nobody. At all.
Okay. All right. Not even when you're in trouble? I know when, you know, my mom, when she called me Richard, I knew I was in deep trouble when she used my full name.
Nah.
No?
My mom never called me Dennister. She just always said DJ.
Okay. Very good. Well, then let's call you DJ. Why not? Since everybody else does that. What is your sense of the Carolina Panthers entering year five for you in this NFL? What's your sense, DJ, of your team?
I feel like we have a better system in place right now. We all understand the main goal this year is to be better than last year. Well, I want to be way better than last year because we didn't do too well. So everybody's main goal is to just do way better than last year and just try to make the playoffs this year.
What do you mean by better system? What do you mean by that?
I feel like it's a better, like, structure for us to go into this year than previous years.
So then what's the difference? Can you give me an example, DJ, of what the difference is?
I could tell you a little something. Like, the offense is way better than previous years. So we have a lot of upgraded weapons and calls that will help us out this year.
Okay. And Ben McAdoo being the new OC, and what's he brought to the equation there?
See, he brought a bunch of new things, like things that my first few years we had, but then we got away from it, and now it's back. So just learning his terminology with things is very hard, but I mean, it's going to work in the long run.
Well, when he was calling plays for the Giants as the head coach there, he had this huge, huge card that looked like a diner menu card. Does he still have that? Does he still have that going for him?
It's still around. I seen it the first day. I was like, "Ooh, who got to know all that?" But then we got to going with OTAs. It became simpler.
And then it got a little awkward when you ordered a tuna melt off it. That might have been could have been like, "What do you mean by that?" Okay, DJ Moore here on the Rich Eisen Show. And how are you a different receiver than when you first walked off the campus at Maryland into Carolina, DJ?
Just understanding the game better. My first few years, the game was pretty fast for me, so I had to adjust to that. The speed of the game, and then my later half of my young career, it started to get slow. So I was able to just dissect defenses, understand offenses better, and just be able to do what I do when I get the ball in my hand.
Well, I mean, you had a terrific year last year. My colleague here, Chris Brockman, and I have a fantasy team together in a celebrity fantasy contest, and you were on our team, and we loved all of your production. And one of my favorite moments, DJ, this past year is when I got a chance to tell none other than Steve Smith that I was starting you every single week. What was that moment like for you from back in the day when, if I'm not mistaken, did Steve ask about your fantasy value in front of you to Cam Newton? Did that happen a few years ago, DJ Moore?
Yeah, that happened a few years ago. It was pretty awkward, but a few years later, it came back that he was just playing fantasy with his son. So I thought it was like a real league, but it was just a family league that he was playing in. So, well, I wasn't too hurt about it.
Well, the stakes weren't that high, but still, I mean, you know what I find, though, is that from Steve, if he does that, that means he likes you. That's what I think. I think you should have taken that as a compliment right in front of you.
Yeah, DJ. At first I didn't know how to take it, but then I got to know him more and understood where he was coming from with it.
He's one of the best. I mean, so are you still in contact with him? Is there any things that you pick up from him or he advises you on in any way, shape, or form, DJ?
Yeah, we stay in contact. Mostly if it's a bad game or I do something silly out there on the field, he'll text me about it and we'll talk about it. But other than that, our relationship is good. We talk when we talk. He's here in Charlotte, so I know I could just hit him up and we could go talk about something if I have it on my mind.
DJ Moore, Carolina Panthers wide receiver here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's just dive into it. The quarterback spot. How is Sam Darnold looking to you and handling everything in year two for him there?
Sam, it's just like I could see a growth in him already from OTAs. You know, everything has been hectic this offseason for him and the news-wise. So with all the quarterbacks moving around. And the way he just handled it, he was talking to everybody, he just was so poised. And then he came in and he had to learn a new offense. He just took it full head on. And he's been good with Ben and Sean with the quarterbacks. And I haven't seen no downward spiral for him, but all upwards for him right now.
Well, I mean, look, he came into New York with such fanfare and being drafted high. And the irony now is the quarterback that was selected in front of him is potentially sitting out there because of what's going on with Baker Mayfield in Cleveland. Has any of that chatter filtered into your locker room, huddle, any sort of conversation that you've overheard or that can filter in at all into what's going on in your preparations for 2022, DJ Moore?
No. In the locker room, even when it all started, it might have been a few things, but we just was all like, let's just leave it to the people upstairs. They get paid that money to make those decisions, and whatever happens, we just rock out with it and adjust from there.
How does McCaffrey look like to you, DJ?
He's been taking good care of his body, you know, with his little freak injuries that you can't really prevent. He's just being cautious, and he just looked like C-Mac that when I first came in, and he had 1,000 receiving, 1,000 rushing. So I'm looking forward to playing out there with him again.
Okay, so what's the like I said, the general sense for your team with Matt Rhule, your coach? I mean, there just seems to be so much chatter outside of football surrounding your team right now, DJ. What do you think you can achieve this year? Brady coming back in Tampa for one more year, as it seems, and the Saints most likely going to get can't guard Mike back, as we expect. What's your general sense of things entering year five for you and your team, DJ?
Man, first is to win the NFC South. Just take it full head on. We had some close games within the conference, so we know we're not too far away. And it's just to win, like win now and think about everything else later.
Okay. Well, very good. And what do you do now? What's July look like for you? What's your summer before training camp? What is DJ Moore doing? What are you doing?
I'm relaxing, working out 3 days a week and just relaxing, spending time with family. I might take a trip or two, but other than that, I'm just focusing on relaxing and make sure my body's right.
Where are you thinking of going?
I want to go to the Nickelodeon in Jersey, so take my daughter there.
Huh. So you want to go to the studios, you mean? Nickelodeon? You're talking about?
No, they got an amusement park and a water park up there. So oh. One day take her up there.
How old's your daughter?
Let her enjoy.
She's
2.
She's 2. Oh, man. Okay, so what are we watching? You're like watching, are we on Disney Plus or you watching anything? What do you got? What are we watching right now?
We on Disney Plus watching all the princesses. Okay. Our new thing right now is Shrek. So we've been watching a lot of Shrek.
Well, that's good because there's a lot of, you know, adult humor in it that you might get. Have you gotten into the Frozen world yet? Have we gotten there?
Yeah. I'm in the Frozen world, 1 and 2.
Oh, okay. So do you know all the lyrics to Let It Go, DJ Moore? Do you know that off the top of your head?
I don't know all the lyrics off the top of my head, but if it's playing, I do sing it under my breath.
Okay, you can't. Be careful because you can't get out of your head. Just know this. What can help you, and it has helped me in the times that I've been out at a football field. I don't play in it, but I do broadcast in it. If you can sing that the cold doesn't bother you anyway, when you're out there and it's like 20 degrees, you're on the road, you might be in Lambeau Field, just sing that and watch you get 200 yards and 3 touchdowns on that day. I guarantee it.
I got to remember to do that.
Okay. Yeah. Just turn. Chris, can you look up the Carolina schedule? Where's he going that might be cold? There it is on the screen. Okay. At Seattle, week 14 could be cold. At Baltimore, week 11, November 20th. That's got a potential. You could be cold. I think those are the dates. You bust out the, you turn it into your own personal Arendelle and see how it works, DJ.
I would think about doing that and see if it works.
Okay, very good. Well, enjoy your time. What's your daughter's name? What's her name?
Ariel.
Oh, wow. That sounds very Frozen.
Little Mermaid.
That sounds, well, it's Little Mermaid there.
A little more like Little Mermaid.
Little Mermaid. Okay, you're locked in. Congrats. Enjoy that 2-year-old. Love up on her before the football season makes daddy a little more scarce. Enjoy the time and let's chat. Down the line, and I look forward to more fantasy fun from you this year.
Thank you, and I hope I bring more fun for y'all.
Thank you very much. You will do that. That's DJ Moore of the Carolina Panthers here on the Rich Eisen Show. Sam Darnold, the same.
Sam is one of those even-keeled
guys.
No, he doesn't show a lot of emotion, you know? I still think he can be a good quarterback.
Of course. The first 3 weeks of last year was the MVP of the league. He was running him in. He was throwing him in.
I still think he can do it.
I think he's going to have to because I don't think Baker's walking through that door there. I think he's going to go Pacific Northwest. That's right. If I just feel it in my bones, I think it's going to be Sam's gig there. Isn't that by the way, if it is Sam's gig, and it works out, what a wild scenario it would be. That hold on a minute.
Yeah.
What a wild scenario it would be, but because I'm thinking about it just in terms of where I'm from. The coach that the Jets could have hired instead of Adam Gase, but let walk out the door because they thought he was too green. And he's a former Giant head coach, too. Former Giant assistant that's hired a former Giant head coach who was the guy who broke up Eli Manning's vaunted start streak so Geno Smith could get a shot.
Yeah.
Run out of New York on a rail. By the way, also the last Giant head coach to coach a playoff game for the Giants. He was the HC of that famous loss in Green Bay off that famous trip to Miami that left a punched Odell Beckham wall. Right.
That last head coach of any kind to wear slick back hair.
It's true.
In the NFL.
But again, it's Matt Rhule hiring Ben McAdoo to turn Sam Darnold into a playoff quarterback.
I love it. Why not?
And somewhere Ray Handley's like saying, yeah, right. I mean, that would be kind of wild.
Why not?
That'd be kind of wild. And they should, if that happens, they should work in an Adam Gase bobblehead night for December. Bobble eyes, my bad, not the head, just the eyes bobble. Okay, let's take a break here on the Rich Eisen Show. Mark Hubbard of the PGA Tour. This is going to be a fun chat. Is he kind of like the Crash Davis of golf right now? Ron Shelton joins us in hour three? Like
he's a young, he looks young, right?
I mean, yeah, he was born in 89, so it's not too long. Mark Hubbard before taking on everybody in the deer competition coming up. Let's talk Game Time. Boy, do we love using Game Time tickets at the Rich Eisen Show. And every single time I've been watching the basketball playoffs on TV, I've been wondering what it would be like to be at these games. And when you choose your tickets on Game Time, you can see the view from your seat, where the court is, where you are in relation to it. And then the all-in prices, that's my favorite feature. The all-in prices makes sure that you see the lowest price guarantee and also know exactly how much everything costs all in before you purchase. So all the guesswork is removed when you buy playoff tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Hey, folks, it's time for the NFL draft, which means for me, I need a good night's sleep, because if I don't have one, I'm just not myself. You know the deal. You know exactly how important it is to have quality sleep. It's a game changer for all of us. So Sleep Number helps me. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's setting is 70. We both get a great night's sleep because we could adjust the firmness of our mattress on each side. Improve your quality sleep because Sleep Number learns how you sleep thanks to their smart beds and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Back here on the program, we talked about the Dodgers earlier on. Did you see the Angels got back-to-back home runs from Mike Trout and also Shohei Ohtani, part of a three solo shot inning last night, and then the White Sox scored five runs in two other innings, and the Angels lost again. I don't recall name another team that had the two arguably best players in the sport on it, and they couldn't even be above 500. You know? I understand that the Mariners didn't win it all when they had Randy Johnson and Ken Griffey Jr. and Alex Rodriguez on it, but they also won 100-something games that year. And Edgar Martinez also. I mean, they had an incredibly talented team, but these Angels are five under 500, 12 games out.
They were doing great.
I mean, Joe Madden was back on top, and then a 14-game losing streak, and it's all over. And now they're on to what do you call the manager who's taking over for the interim for 10 games because the interim's been suspended?
I don't know.
I mean, honestly, the Angels have Trout, and they have Ohtani, and they had a terrific start of the season. And a 14-game losing streak. They fire their manager. The interim is suspended 10 games. They also have a suspended interpreter, a suspended closer, a suspended pitching coach. You know, and the White Sox, who are equally as disappointing.
Yeah, White Sox.
You know, with Tony La Russa on a hot seat.
Fire Tony chants every night.
Right, because he's intentionally walking people who or already have two strikes on him, right? Like weird stuff like that. Only to have Max Muncy, I think, step up and homer the next at bat. I mean, the Angels are just a patent disappointment once again.
And Trout's having a tremendous year. 23 home runs. He's second in home runs. He leads the AL in WAR. Second in OPS. Like, he's just crushing it. Finally healthy.
He's 30, by the way. Not getting any younger.
He still has
Mike Trout
38 years left in his $1 billion contract.
Does he ever ask for a trade, do you think?
Never.
Just I don't think so. Out.
But, like, he's from He's from Jersey, so like, to go back to the Eagles. He's not a Phillies fan, but to go back to the Phillies,
he would play for the Eagles if he could. Chris,
play for the Phillies.
Go home at the end of his career. I don't know.
You
know,
play for the Phillies at the end of his career. Mm-hmm. He and Bryce Harper could. Queens
is close there.
TJ wants everybody.
Just like a short train ride. You know.
Question is, would Ohtani take the road out of town? We keep saying if Ohtani wore pinstripes or had the Boston B on his hat or had the Mets interlocking NY on his hat.
I mean,
see you later. Or he just went up the road here to Los Angeles to play the Dodgers. Play with the Dodgers.
Mike Trout still has 8+ years left. $35 million per year.
He's not going anywhere, man.
There's no reason.
He's probably dying to play in an October game of significance, just like we're dying to see him
in it. At some point, that's got to hit him, right? I'm this good, and I've never played on the biggest stage.
And then he lives in Southern California. And
no one on the East Coast is still watching
him. And nobody's like... Nobody's coming to talk to him after every game, 15 different outlets. He looked like sick to his stomach when he had to meet with the media in New York City and talk about, you know, fantasy football commissionership.
That was a dumb thing that he obviously had wanted no part of.
He could have had fun with it and just been done with it. Yeah. You know, he could have come out and said Tommy Pham was ridiculous for the injured reserve stuff. You didn't have to treat it like it was, you know, like the insurrection. He treated it so seriously.
That's
just
a dust up, Rich. Okay.
My bad.
Yeah.
Right. Come on. Understood. But I mean, we will see how this all plays out this year. Doesn't look good for the Angels again. Joining us on the Rich Eisen Show for the first time. Look, we had him on our radar screen last week when his name popped up for the Travelers as the guy who got in because Brooks Koepka was out and he joined the LIV Tour. And we talked about it. We said, we are now Mark Hubbard fans. We're rooting for him. And I guess the PGA Tour heard about it and said, you want to talk to him? And we're like, hell yeah.
Yeah.
So he joins us right now from the great Quad Cities community in Illinois, home of the John Deere Classic, where he is in the field on this week's PGA Tour, and that will be seen on CBS and Golf Channel as well. Joining us on the Rich Eisen Show on his 8th year on tour is Mark Hubbard. How you doing, Mark?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. I'm well.
You got it, man. So, yeah, we heard you got in last week. We're like, we're rooting for you. We're all in.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I was sitting on the putting green on Thursday, and I started looking at my social media, and it just starts blowing up with all these people saying, we're from the Rich Eisen Show. I'm like, what is going on? So I had to go into Spotify and listen. And
there you go.
I appreciate the shout-out.
Of course, man. So let's talk about your career, and how did you find yourself on the PGA Tour? How'd you get there, Mark?
I started up on the PGA Tour Canada, played 2 seasons up there, which was so much fun. Got my web.com, now the Korn Ferry Tour, through finishing third up there. And then in 2014, finished in the top 25 on the Korn Ferry, so got my PGA card through there. So it all happened kind of fast. Obviously, I'm a little bit of a journeyman now going back and forth, but you know, it's been a good run.
Is that why your Twitter handle is @homelesshubs, Mark? What's that all about? What is that?
A little bit. Kind of right out of college when I was playing mini tour golf. I was in Arizona just kind of couch surfing, sleeping on somebody's air mattress, floor, wherever I landed. And I wasn't paying rent, so they just started calling me homeless. I'm always a little scruffy around the edges, so it just kind of stuck.
Okay, and so then you just... Then that was available. There wasn't like somebody was squatting on at Homeless Hubs on Twitter, huh?
I actually had my pro-am group today. Was like, is your nickname Hobo? And I was like, I don't know. We might have to change that.
Oh, Hobo Hubs.
Be better.
That's a little tighter.
I got a hole in my shoe.
That's a little tighter. And so where were you when you found out that you were going to be in the Travelers last week? Where were you?
So the weekend before, I was actually at a bachelor party in Austin expecting to have an off week. So it was quite the turnaround. And then all of a sudden, I was second alternate. So I hopped on a flight late Tuesday night, and I think I landed about 11:30, and I had a bunch of messages saying that Brooks had WD'd So it was about, it was about 11:30 on Tuesday night.
So how often do you travel or have been traveling as an alternate? And then you find out that you might not even get in? Is that how that works?
Yeah, I mean, this year I've been playing out of the 126 to 150 category, which is technically conditional status. So it's been a little bit of a whirlwind, not knowing for sure. A lot of weeks you know for sure you're not going to get in, a lot of weeks you know for sure that you will. But there's been, five or six this year that, depending on withdrawals and stuff, I may or may not get in. I think I've been actually pretty lucky. I'm going to get 21 starts this year, which is awesome out of that category. A lot of that is because I played well in the fall. But, yeah, it's been kind of a weird year. But at the same time, it's, taught me to just be ready when I do need to play. And if anything, it's taught me that maybe I've been playing too much for the last couple of years. And rather than play, 5 weeks in a row, medium talent wise and mental capacity wise, maybe play one or two when I'm firing on all cylinders. So it's been a different year, but good in a lot of ways.
So have you ever flown standby to play standby? Have you done that? Has that actually happened?
I've never done that. That would be a new one. Luckily the the PGA Tour has a good relationship with United.
Okay.
So you usually get.
I'm just trying to see how extreme it really is for you.
Yeah, no.
Traveling around.
I mean, it is, it is different than a lot of guys. You really just see the top guys on TV and think about the private planes and stuff, but the majority of us, we're traveling like crazy and fitting all our stuff and our kid stuff into, Avis rental cars and driving from Chicago here this week, and it's not as glamorous as it looks. I mean, don't get me wrong, I have a great life, but definitely there's a lot more stuff like that going on than you might know.
Well, and that's part of the reason why I also wanted to talk to you, Mark Hubbard, is because the conversation in the world of golf right now does surround what the PGA Tour offers its players, certainly spotlighted by the LIV Tour saying that they have left because of similar, for better conditions and a better work environment and thanks for the memories, PGA Tour. Where do you stand on this whole subject matter, Mark Hubbard?
Yeah, I struggle with some of the guys who left saying that because, I've played 30 to 33 events for 8 straight years. Like, they're complaining about the fact that they're playing too much. Those guys are playing 21, 22 events. They're not grinding the way that we are, and they're getting paid a bunch. And so, to act like, oh, I'm not getting to see my family. I mean, you're a professional golfer and you're only having to play 22, you're only having to work 22 weeks a year. I mean, I know we're grinding on off weeks too, but I've found that sob story a little far-fetched. But yeah, I mean, it's an interesting dynamic going on. I think obviously when you're talking about $125 million, it's kind of hard to compare. We can't compete with, a foreign dictatorship's money, but there's a lot of stuff that the PGA Tour does amazing that I don't think those guys are thinking about. I mean, our retirement is amazing. The childcare system is amazing. My wife and daughter get to travel with me almost every week because we frankly get more help out on the road with the amazing childcare system. So there's a lot of things like that that the tour really does a great job. So I don't know. I mean, I'm a little bummed where it's at. I'm a little nervous for the future of golf. But at the same time, I can't blame anyone for going for $125 million. That's a lot of money.
Sure, of course. And what about the concept that you hear, not just from the players who have chosen the LIV Tour, but from the LIV Tour itself, that they're growing the game of golf? What do you make of that opinion, Mark?
Yeah, I mean, I don't see how. I think, the tour, we have, developmental tours all the way up. In terms of growing the game of golf, like the amount of work we do in each community that we go into, the amount of charities we impact every week. I mean, just walking around the Pro-Am today at the John Deere, the amount of kids that were out here from Boys and Girls Club from the first tee, I don't see how that was something that we were lacking in. And I don't see how a 54 person tour run by a foreign dictatorship is gonna impact the youth the way that we do. So I don't really see how that adds up, to be honest.
And is there how much conversation in the locker room or amongst you in the your circle of friends or tight circle that you may have in the PGA Tour? How much of this is being discussed by you guys?
Yeah, it's kind of everywhere right now. It's being talked about all the time, locker rooms everywhere. I think all of us are a little bit tired of it and want to just get back to playing golf, but we realize, you know, it's a unique situation. I think, you know, from a media standpoint, sometimes we're kind of like, hey, like, if we really want this to go away, maybe we should stop talking about it. You know, it's kind of one of those things, any press is bad press, or any press is good press, even if, you know, we're condemning the guys that are leaving, we're still talking about them. So I think all of us, you know, miss the days when we could go just play golf, but it is what it is. And, you know, I think a lot of the changes that the tour just made are going to be good, and I'm glad we're, you know, switching the conversation to that narrative instead.
Well, the guys who left, I mean, obviously last week, Brooks Koepka opening a door for you to play in the Travelers. Do you think there'll be more open doors for you because of the amount of guys who have left? Do you think that might be a benefit in that respect, Mark, for you?
Yeah, I you know, like I said, I don't know. Only time will tell. But right now, I don't necessarily think this is the best thing for the game of golf.
Right.
But for me, selfishly, it's been great. I've gotten, like I said, at the beginning of the year, out of my category, I was thinking I was going to get 15 or 16 events. I'm probably going to get 21 or 22. So it's helped me a lot in that regard. Right now, I'm sitting on 130th in the FedEx Cup, but there's probably six or seven guys ahead of me who have left for the LIV Tour. So I could be sitting at 123 for all I know. So selfishly, yeah, those guys leaving and has helped me out a lot. We were actually joking. I got a new staff bag last week, and it doesn't have my name on it. So we were thinking about writing not Brooks Koepka or Brooks Koepka there on the front of the bag. But didn't have it all.
Please do that. Please do that.
There's still time. There's still this week.
Please do that. So that was going to be my next question. Is like, we got you a new bag. We can get you a new bag if you're going to have more starts, right? Because I saw the bag. We can't have duct tape, yeah. Mark Hubbard. We cannot have duct tape on your
golf
bag.
I mean, it kind of goes with the homeless hug.
I know. I know it's on brand. I get it.
I'm trying to make a brand.
I get it. No, I know it's on brand. I get it. But at some point, though, let's get rid of the duct tape. So you have for this week, then, gotten rid of the duct tape.
Local IQ, one of my marketing sponsors, they hooked it up last week. So
okay.
Kind of last minute, so I still don't have the name. But we might go with not Brooks Koepka.
Or Brooks was here. That might be
that might be choice.
That would be my choice, no doubt about it, Mark Hubbard. And look, I think fewer and fewer people will be talking about the LIV Tour once, and this is another benefit to you as well. Once Russell Wilson starts playing football for the Denver Broncos and the football season begins, you know what I mean? So that's your team, correct, Mark? That's your team?
I mean, at the end of the day, I'm still on cloud nine after the Avs win, so I don't really care about anything with the LIV.
That's right.
Anything with golf.
The Avs.
This is probably going to be about as good as my attitude will be all year at this tournament because I'm still riding that high.
Oh, I bet. You know, let me just do this right. I'm kind of freaking out about it. I think you were 7 or 8 years old when I was on SportsCenter talking about Joe Sakic bringing the Lord Stanley Cup with Patrick Waugh to Colorado for the first time.
We had season tickets growing up. I went to all the games. It was great.
I bet. So
the best
you're riding high on the Avs win. You didn't.
Ready.
Okay.
Ready for a great Broncos season? Yeah.
Oh, okay. How do you think they are going to do, in all seriousness, the Broncos, for real?
I think we're going to be really good. It's tough because we're in such a good division. But, I mean, I think our play calling is going to be a lot better. I'm happy that we made that switch. And I think if Russell Wilson just stays within himself, like, we don't need him to go crazy or do anything insane. We just need him to not throw picks and run the offense. I think our running game with that 1-2 punch is gonna be great. Like re-signing Melvin Gordon, I think, was awesome to have that off that change of pace. So and we made, you know, a lot of improvements on both sides of the line. So I'm hopeful. I mean, obviously I'm always hopeful, but I think this hope comes from reasonable assessment.
Okay. And maybe you never know. The Saudis might start a new football league and ask Mahomes to join, and he's out of the West. You know, that could happen. You never know. That could happen.
Yeah.
Just trying to have a little bit of levity. Hey, Mark, what a pleasure. I'm sorry if I caused your putting regimen to get blown up because we mentioned you on our program.
No, it was great. I loved it.
Yeah. Are they... Are you over 10,000 on Twitter now? Is that what it is right now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's keep going.
Yeah, that was our deal. We were trying to get him over because he was at 9,700.
Okay.
And we were like, let's
boost
him
up.
He's at 10,200.
All right, let's get over 11,000. Let's go.
Come on, people.
Let's keep going.
Let's keep going.
He's got a brand new bag, and he's going to have more followers after this conversation. This is going to be great, man. And are they still talking about my appearance in the Pro-Am at River Highlands in 1998 when I was on SportsCenter and I left tons of divots on the course? Are they still talking about that back there?
Yeah, I heard murmurs throughout the course last week during the Pro-Am.
Yeah, you're like looking down at the fairway like, why is that hole so old and deep? That was me.
Yeah, I tripped on a few, but...
My bad. My apologies. Hey, Mark, let's stay in touch, man. This is a pleasure. Congrats on everything that's going on with you and your family, and let's stay in touch. Good luck in the John Deere.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. At Homeless Hubs, there's two B's in it, so let's make sure we get this right. Follow him on The Rich Eisen Show. Thanks for coming on. That's our new friend, Mark Hubbard. We're now BFFs.
Not going to lie, I'm going to bet Mark Hubbard this weekend.
That's fun.
That was awesome. I got a new fan. I'm very impressed.
He's got to put Brooks was here on that bag.
Has to.
Brooks was here on the bag.
I mean.
But that's part of the reason why I want to have him on. Like, here's a guy who's grinding on the tour. Selfishly, in the short term, it's going to help him get some
more starts.
Events.
Yeah.
But he's nervous. How about him saying that the child care on tour is so good, it's better for his wife and child to be with him on the road. That just shows you that's real life stuff going on with a lot of these guys on the tour. And that's, what do you think? Is the rags to riches stuff is what the tour is about? And thus, the guys who went from rags to riches to more riches, leaving the rags tour, the tour that made them go from rags to riches behind, kind of sucks. But what, as he pointed out, like somebody calling up $125 million, you don't have to worry about, you know, your child care at home anymore.
No, it's PJs, you're traveling with nanny. Yeah, it's that's how your life is now because of that, but...
I just wanted to lay it all out there for you in a conversation. By the way, I see anytime I talk about how the LIV Tour is less than for the PGA Tour, I don't think they're growing the game. I think they literally are joining and taking the cash. And I totally understand, again, why you would take nine figures of cash. I get it. Or high eight figures of cash, or mid eight figures of cash, or low eight figures of cash. You know, but again, it's a tour created by a guy who has been grinding an axe on the PGA Tour for a long time and found a foreign government that has a bottomless pit of money that has its own agenda. And the two of them get together and they are just poaching big names. And will you watch the LIV Tour this week? You gonna seek it out? In Oregon? You know? Like, I saw the article. I see everything, man. I'm just, you know, I'm seeing everything these days. So certainly with the kids out of town now. But Sergio Garcia, they're changing the name or the avatar of their team name on the LIV Tour. And they're sending out press releases. And Sergio's being quoted of like, yeah, we're changing the name. We're going to come up with a new brand. And the three other players playing with him, I've never heard of. But you know what I'm saying? Like, that's just going to be tough to get into and buy and care about. Do you know? I mean.
Oh, man. Kevin Van Valkenburg, we talked to him, the Golf Writer. He had a thread yesterday on Twitter about Golf Writers should, like, these guys are just doing, they should ask serious questions like, what do you say to the longtime Fireball fans who are upset that you're changing the logo and swapping out new team members?
Yeah, yeah, right.
And just see
just
how
after
these,
one just after one yeah. week,
and just see how these guys react. Like, what? This is about golf. This is about
yeah, it's
golf
about your competition,
and
your world.
The game,
like we're trying to treat it like
changing
yeah,
the world,
like it's like, do or die stuff.
Right?
You know,
I'm asking you a question about your team. What do you have to say about it? and just watch Brooks Koepka and these guys like in disgust.
They'll be just like, get out of here with that noise.
You guys started this.
Now you got to live in it.
Yeah.
Just ask these guys all those serious questions.
Yeah, it like, would you be don't want us so to ask you, funny.
You don't want us to ask you about sports washing. Let's get into like how can you what do you say to the Fireball fans?
Yeah.
That had bought Fireball t-shirts.
And now you're changing.
That were drinking Fireball in honor of your team, rooting for you. Big Sergio Garcia fans that followed you to the Live Tour and bought all that fire and Fireball stuff.
Fire.
What are you going to say to them?
Fire.
It would be so funny.
Live on Sunday.
Yeah, he was like, Brooks, as a captain, what are you personally doing to motivate the Smash Boys?
Is that the team that he's on?
Yeah.
Boys?
He's now a captain.
He's a captain of the Smash Boys.
So Van Valkenburg is like, are you more of a Ted Lasso guy or Craig T. Nelson?
Oh, my gosh.
Is nepotism the right path to glory?
Smash Boys come out to play.
Let's be serious.
Are they going to put a C on his?
I have no idea.
Are they going to put a C? They'll put a C over his blacked out Masters logo.
That's Phil.
My bad. I'm mixing up my major tour winners on.
Don't screw up Live Team.
Major winners on the Live Tour. All right, let's take a break. We're getting ready for Ron Shelton. Everybody, he may have just walked in the door in our green room.
Billy Ho,
can't wait.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen. Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
Aaron Judge hit a 2-run home run in the bottom of the first today.
He did?
Shocking. He did.
So that's 29.
The issue is, though, the A's scored 3 in the top of the first, but that's what an MVP does when your Tyone is struggling all of a sudden. I mean, this is where it is right now. What's today's date?
It's June 29th.
This is where it is on June 29th. Team that has won 55 of its first 75 games. I'm beginning to grow concerned about their fifth starter.
Thanks, Rich.
Really growing concerned about that guy that won't have to pitch in the playoffs anyway.
Who won't
maybe long relief. Baby.
Because okay, so that's Judge's 29th. How many games have you guys played?
70. This is their 76th game.
All right, well, I'm doing...
76th game. You're going to do an on-pace thing?
I'm doing his pace.
John Walsh, the creator of SportsCenter, despised the on-pace. He would bristle anytime any of us on SportsCenter talked about somebody's on-pace to do anything because that means nothing. Absolutely nothing. It takes into account injury possibilities, no scheduled off days, no unscheduled off days, no rainouts. Doesn't take into account... you know, the usual ups and downs of a season. Like, so you're on pace for what? If you continue this torrid pace, nobody continues torrid paces. That's why they're called torrid paces.
But we're halfway through the year, and he's on pace for 62.
Are we halfway through the year? You keep reminding me we're not halfway through the year.
We're not.
You do say
close.
That.
I mean, this is game 76. If we were halfway through the year, the Yankees would play only 152 games, not 162.
He hasn't played every game, I'm just saying.
He's not played every game.
Judge is about halfway through his year, and he's on a pace for 62 home runs. Which would set
record. If he breaks Roger Maris's record.
And then goes and plays and then leaves.
And then leaves. He's not leaving.
Please. I'll take that bet for sure.
You'll take that bet?
I will take that bet.
That's what I'll do with you.
Uh-oh. I'll take that bet.
I'll do that one with you.
Oof.
There will not be a moment next year when Aaron Judge is a San Francisco Giant crying on first base because the Yankee fans are cheering for him and he then wonders, what did I do? That ain't happening.
No, he's going to leave. Like, you left Bristol in your rear view, Rich. He's leaving the Bronx in his rear view.
Mark Shapiro's not walking through that door in the Steinbrenner wing, bro.
I will disown the Yankees if they let him go.
No.
I will be
it's not up to the Yankees.
Sure it is.
Yes, it is.
Absolutely
is
not. Yes,
it is. They have to pay
him. He doesn't want to play there anymore.
That's false.
Oh, stop
that's
it.
That's false.
You know, you give and your
field.
Red Sox hate.
Give me the field. Give me the field.
You, that's you false. And your, you know what? Why aren't
Mookie
you,
Betts left
you
for
think
money,
you
right?
just connected and you're running around the bases? Yeah, why don't you go in your little cart Mookie. And celebrate your little cart like you've never hit a home run in your life like the Red Sox do after every home
why
run
do
they
hate
hit?
Fun?
I don't hate fun.
They've
I love fun.
Rich.
This is the guy angrily telling me.
He's just like, oh, Verdugo just hit a home run. Get in the cart. Whee! It's like what I did with my three-year-old down the produce aisle.
Every team does it.
Oh, isn't that fun?
Every Daddy team does celery. A home run celebration.
Not the Yankees. They lead the league in home runs. They lead the league in home
and
runs
you don't
and
allow
wins.
Facial hair and long hair. So like, what is wrong with
they
your
team? They
look
like they're having fun with me.
Your team lives in the 70s,
that's
bro.
True. If we were the Yankees, I couldn't even play for you right now.
Yeah,
I wouldn't be on this
you
team.
You know what? That I don't agree with that whole business of shame and whatever.
You, you support you know, it every that, day.
That's,
every day you
that's
support
like George,
it.
That's like George Steinbrenner railing at the hippies, the long hairs.
Every day you
know, you
support
I mean,
it.
It's it. I support it because I love the Yankees, and this year has been phenomenal. And Aaron Judge is not going anywhere. The Yankees will pay him all of the dollars and give him all of the years. There will not be a Freddie Freeman issue here. If he wants to stay and you're like, he's out. He looks like a guy who loves it where he is.
Speaking of guys who are sneaky old, Aaron Judge.
I know that.
30.
So what? Give him 8 years.
8 years. Yeah.
What?
8, 36, 37, 38.
It won't age well.
It is not going
to
age well.
May, from our current lips to the television streaming radio gods' ears, we're on the air 8 years from now. Okay. And we're having this conversation. Let's put a pin in it.
And he's hitting 201, oh, making God. $38 million.
Okay. This guy.
That but he's still got 45 bombs.
This guy. Right over there. That guy.
That's your man's. That's your man's.
Give me the field.
I'll take it.
I'll take the field.
Sold. What are we doing?
Oh, this is
whatever
great.
Whatever you want, man.
Double or nothing on the pickleball bet?
Whatever,
that I'm gonna
whatever you're comfortable
just don't bet him money and expect to get it.
He's working on a teammate, Rich.
Whatever you're comfortable
pride. Put Yankee pride on it.
That's
pride
the best thing. That's pride the best thing, Rich, because if you're Horse going thing. To exchange funds, he's not going to pay
that's
you.
That's another thing.
So you might as well just
dude,
have
the
pride.
The draft, if I'm not, wait, what's today's date again?
It's June 29th.
I think today was, in fact, it is the two-month mark of the day Kenny Pickett was not drafted in the top five of the draft.
Sure
if I'm not mistaken, it was April 29th. Draft night in Las Vegas, Nevada, April 29th, because the Saturday was May 1st. I remember that.
Okay. We're about to have a dust up in here.
2 months delinquent.
I mean,
we're going to have a dust
like up. Checks that you might not be able to cash if it's sent from a certain business 60 days.
Look, I'm just, my lights might go off in the crib. You
damn.
Know what I mean?
And like, he wants to bet me money. And you want to be my latex salesman.
Vandalay Industries. Tell him Vandalay.
Hey, Vandalay.
I mean, and you wanted that, by the way, one of the best buttons in the history of television buttons.
And
you want to be my latex salesman.
Credit to Jerry, because George falls, right?
Because
he takes his shirt and his pants.
Because he goes to the bathroom.
Yeah. And he trips, and Jerry waits for
the
crowd.
Say Vandalay, right?
Waits for the crowd to stop laughing, because they film in front of a studio audience. And then
and you want to be my latex salesman. It's one of the greatest buttons in the history of sitcom buttons.
Kramer, what delay in this? You're
what
way
delay?
Off.
Say Vandalay.
And Kramer's so dumb. He's like, say
No. Goodbye.
And you want to be my latex salesman.
Oh, yeah. Give me the field.
Dude.
Pete Alonso has 69
RBIs. You can
RBIs.
Keep talking. It's crazy. It's crazy what he's doing.
Just throwing that out there.
And he'll be backing up first base in the All-Star game.
But he'll be winning.
Fresh off his home run derby championship. Right?
I'm going to say it again. We need to have Pete Alonso in the studio in that chair All-Star weekend.
Let's work
please
on it.
Help us.
Let's work on it.
Mitch, call up Buck. That's your man.
I could. Yeah, Buck's on top of the availability of his players media-wise. Here's what you should do.
Uh-huh.
Tweet at Steve Cohen.
I've tried. Like,
what do you have tweeted at the Mets owner?
I mean, not from the Rich Eisen show account lately, but I have in the past.
Well, you tweet from whichever account you want. Mm-hmm. I'll hit the retweet. Say, come on, Steve. Let's invite the Mets owner in here.
That would be great. Even,
let's invite him in here.
Almost as good.
I don't know if he'll be here for the All-Star game.
Why wouldn't he?
I'm going to hire you as my latex salesman?
Right. I don't think so.
I don't think so. No, the line is, and so, and you want to be my latex salesman.
I got to scrub through it and find it.
I mean, come on. You got 40 seconds to scrub.
Okay, hang on.
You have 36 seconds to scrub.
You're wasting time.
Scrub. You're wasting time.
You're wasting time.
You want to be, and you want to be my latex salesman.
And you want to be my audio engineer.
So you should do. You should at Steve Cohen and say, let's get, can you get Pete Alonso here on the Rich Eisen show?
Do that right now.
Is Pete on Twitter?
Of course.
Someone tweeted him. Let's go straight to the guy.
If Bussin' with the Boys is going to hit you up every day, maybe I'll just hit up Pete Alonso every day.
I don't think Peter.
I'm going to hire you as my latex salesman.
Right.
Right.
I don't think so.
No, that's not the one.
That's literally what you just played.
It's the end of the episode. Get Ron Shelton here. Get a real professional.
No, a professional.